Welcome to All Electric with Daniel Callow from EV Mojo.
G'day, Daniel. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Chris, how are you today?
Good, good, good. And we will be talking all things EV again today. And the news, of course, in New South Wales government is actually putting in packages to promote EVs. So that's headed in the right direction. But there, you know, there are a few incentives available, but they're pretty far and few. You know, I thought I might ask you as an expert, you know, what are the current incentives to get a new EV in Australia?
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting at the moment. I mean, it's good to see various state governments actually coming to the table and providing incentives to get people in EV. So this is much anticipated, and particularly within the EV community, you know, a lot of us have been waiting for sort of this moment to start, and it's happening, which is good. So basically, at the moment, there's a couple around depending on the actual state, but basically New South Wales and Victoria are offering a $3,000 incentive. Now that's for entry level vehicles essentially, so they cap it at $68,740, $750 around there depending on the state, and that's essentially to allow someone to get into, say, a entry level Model 3, Tesla Model 3, or anything below. Victoria also have eliminated the luxury car tax as well. And if you look at Queensland, they've provided a reduction in stamp duty, whereas New South Wales have no stamp duty. So it's a mix between, you know, a rebate and reduced stamp duty. And that's, I think, what we're going to start seeing more of as the other states come to the table, and as this sort of policy sort of evolves over the next few months and years, is that play between rebate and luxury car tax and stamp duty and potentially even registration. So it's good to see, definitely, and it's a great entry point now to get into the EV market.
Absolutely. Now, of course, there are still, the bulk of the cars on the road are still petrol engine or diesel engine vehicles. Is it fair to non-EV buyers to have these incentives out there, do you think?
Interesting question, Chris. That's always one that gets brought up in, you know, when you talk about this stuff in a room of people, and there's always the ones that say, well, that's not fair. Why do they get the rebates and, you know, we're stuck, you know, paying the full price? And I think it comes down to the fact that there is still a large gap between an electric car and a petrol car. You know, if you got like for like, there's still a significant gap. And all the incentive is trying to do is reduce that gap, because it's, you know, and get like the average person interested in buying a car. So that's why they cap it at that $68,000 mark, because it's not to provide a rebate for someone who can afford an expensive electric car. It's trying to get people into the entry-level electric segment. So, you know, at the end of the day, the non-EV buyer is spending less, right? So they're getting the best rebate because they're actually getting the cheaper car. And the EV buyer is paying essentially what is an innovation tax to begin with. It's because it's so advanced, the technology, you are paying a premium for that. Like, you know, when a new iPhone comes out, it's significantly more expensive than the same model they sell that's 2 years old. So it's similar like that. So, you know, the goal here is to change the attitude and behavior of people. And that's what the government's trying to do. So it's saying, well, you know, if we can, you know, absorb some of that cost of the expensive electric car, you know, are you willing to get in and enjoy it and reap the benefit? So the other thing it does as well for everybody is encourages innovation and competition. So this is something that's sort of overlooked. And, you know, if you can get more people in Australia in EVs, we're going to see cheaper cars coming to Australia. You know, we've got to get that critical mass of adoption, and the only way you're going to do that is for the government to come in and sort of try to incentivize people to jump in. Then you'll start seeing manufacturers like Volkswagen coming along and saying, hey, you know, Australia's a pretty awesome market now. You know, they're selling a lot of cars here, and let's be more competitive in this space. So it puts us on the map as far as a market goes for all the manufacturers to say, well, let's be more competitive now and be more aggressive, And then at that point, you know, government might reduce the incentives, and then all of a sudden we've got, you know, more affordable EVs in our market. It also helps boost the economy. You know, all this spending and all this, activity, it boosts the economy, through chargers, solar, batteries. I know people that, you know, when they get into their EVs, they're doing more road trips. That means, you know, more country towns are getting, you know, the pie and chip sales, and it's just, it's really allowing people to sort of re-enjoy driving again, and it gets people out there and spending. So it benefits everybody. And what we've also seen is, you know, more jobs being created as a result of it. I mean, I know there's a new battery facility that's about to launch, and that's going to create jobs. They're going to create batteries for commercial vehicles. So we're going to start seeing, you know, infrastructure and manufacturing sort of come back to Australia in this area. So it's going to provide that as well. In order to do all this, you need people to adopt. So that's what the government's trying to sort of help along here is helping people to adopt so the economy can benefit from it. And obviously, at the end, there's health benefits, as we know. Cleaner air, less noise. I mean, less pollution equals less cancer, right? So it's a benefit for everyone.
Well, what we talked about this off-air, and of course, the Australian government, as you just said, have been dipping their toe in the water as far as electric cars are concerned, while other governments are really going ahead in loops and bounds. The Canadian government banning internal combustion engines by 2035. What do you think the Australian government should do to accelerate EV adoption? What can we do to push it along? Because we're going to have to.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question, that one, and one that, you know, a lot of people have very varying opinion on. What we want to try to avoid is Australia becoming that dumping ground for fossil fuel vehicles when, you know, all other nations are adopting in larger rates. Manufacturers still want to sell their fossil fuels. We don't want them to push those vehicles here. We want to be one of these innovative leaders. So I think the government needs to definitely, you know, get on board and bring policy in line with some of the other nations, you know, such as, you know, eliminating fossil fuel vehicle sales by a certain year. They can do that. Increasing the rebates, I think, over time is definitely something that should be on the table. Some nations offer up to $20,000 incentives, as an example. You can do things like eliminate stamp duty or reduce the registration cost in China, you know, for certain vehicles, certain value, but they don't pay registration. So there's things they can play with to increase the adoption. Investing in infrastructure is probably a really big one, I think. Things like charging stations. So one of the pullbacks at the moment still with EV is, if I want to do a long country trip, you know, where do I charge? So we're starting to see the government play in that area now and provide incentives and develop, sort of infrastructure. But I think it needs to be done at a more rapid rate in the next, say, 3 to 5 years. So if someone's wanting to buy an EV, they can, hey, I live in SA and I want to drive to Darwin. They can do so without having to plan or think about it. They can just jump in their car and drive. And I think we need to get to that point. Government's got to kick in and provide the infrastructure. So also, it needs to focus on an innovative, innovative incentives too. We've got some great brains in Australia, some of the greatest universities, on this side of the hemisphere. And I think, you know, that if we tap into that sort of area and the innovation that EV can bring, you know, whether it be battery, solar, connected grids, smart cars, self-driving, automation, all these high technology areas, if we can push to become sort of leaders in some of those spaces, that will in turn, boost the economy and boost the adoption, and once again, attract some of the great companies to set up their operations here in Australia. So we definitely want to see more spending and more investment in the innovation space that's linked to EV and batteries and solar.
Absolutely. I think you've got it in one, Daniel. We've got to have the government behind the whole thing and starting to push it now. I know EVMojo.com is able to keep us right up to date on what's happening in the world of electric cars. I think you can do comparisons. You've given a few reviews. How many, I'm looking at your website, but you've got social media feeds as well, no doubt?
Yep. Yeah, we do. I mean, yeah, look, you can just you can jump on. Anyone wants to jump on, it's evmojo.com. Have a look. We've got various vehicles there that we compare against. And if you subscribe, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening on the EV scene.
Terrific. Daniel, again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your expertise on this. It's really worthwhile and very, very valuable. And I think will become more and more valuable as time progresses. So we'll talk again in a month.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.